You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. So before I hit the record button, Tony told me a couple jokes that would have made this episode X-rated. I laughed, but what that did, you won't hear these jokes, but what it did is it set the tone for us and the podcast that we're about to have today. So as always, Mr. Peterson, thank you for taking time out of your day to come here and risk your career for
look, it's whatever, it's gonna go away eventually. Might as like, well be here
when you die, or just the fact that, like,
way before.
I've been having a lot of internal conversations with myself about the direction this podcast is going to go, because I can't do, I'll be honest, I can't do this for another 10 years.
Right.
It's just, it's impossible. Like, two things. One, when a new podcast or a new group of people come up and they have the same conversations that I've had already with whoever, just like there's outdoor writers or outdoor, I don't know, content creators from 10 years before me already saying, well, I've already done everything Dan Johnson's done, just like I'm saying that stuff now. And the fact that I honestly think that hunting, just like hunters are not as interested in hunting content as we, the creators, think that they are.
I think that's very true. And I think it's just it's purely a matter of oversaturation.
Oh yeah, 100%.
You know, but I mean, this isn't unique to the hunting space, right?
Right.
I mean, everything that's going on in the world is just like vomited into our faces constantly.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, I am just, I am married. I have 3 children, so I have responsibilities. But I know that I could thrive as an individual without, like, if I was to lose all of my money, like, and my family's gone, and I had one pair of underwear, I could, well, I'm just saying one pair of underwear because no one wants to see me naked,
right?
Basically, right? No one wants to see my genitalia. But I could be happy with just one pair of underwear. I could make life work with one pair of underwear.
I think it was implied when you said no one wants to see me naked that it was because people didn't want to see your genitalia. But I'm glad you really drilled down on that so we all knew exactly what was going on there.
Well, you never
anyway,
know.
Anyway, you think that you would be happy, or you could thrive, you could fly pretty high if you only had a pair of underwear and you started from zero right now.
Yeah, but you have to remember, my expectations for life are higher now because of my kids and because of my wife, right? Mm. You take all of those things away, dude, I could live in a dumpster and have a good day. You ever see some of those homeless people? They just look like they're having the time of their life, and maybe it's because of the fentanyl, or maybe it's because they have ultimate freedom.
I can tell you one thing. I don't see a lot of homeless people that look like they're just having lots of fun.
I mean, just imagine. They can go do whatever they want, whenever they want.
One of the recent, well, not super recent, a couple years ago, we took a trip down to Florida. There was a homeless guy shitting in a plastic bag on the sidewalk. Yep. And he didn't look like he was having that much fun.
Yeah, You're probably right there. I would probably try to keep it a little more classy. But
it was almost like he wanted people to know.
Yeah. So we flew into the Portland, Oregon. By the way, Portland, Oregon. Holy shit. What a shithole. Like, have you ever been to Portland, Oregon?
I have not.
Oh, my God. Imagine a dump. Like, where we would go to normally take trash. Miles and miles and miles of trash, tents, homeless people, drugs, people shitting in bags. We pulled out of the airport, and we went to the rental car place and took this. We had to go through this loop around, I don't know, some community. And there was a guy, not in a sack, but he was taking a shit in a bucket. And the next block down, two people smoking crack right in front of everybody. Another, a little bit further down, I saw someone put a needle in their arm. Right? And so I'm telling you, that I don't want to go that direction.
Right.
But I'm just letting you know that it would be cool.
What would you do?
I would probably get a job first off, because let's be honest, you can't go hunt in just underwear all the time. Get a job, buy a van or some kind of camper or RV, and then I would just become a roamer. I would go, oh, hey, I'm going to go hunt Nebraska. I'm going to hunt Iowa. I'm going to live in a van, and I'm just going to bounce around to all these spots. Here's the cool thing about this, though, Tony. I feel like I would change all of my goals if I was homeless, because you can't put a mount in a van. You can't have a whole bunch of Euro mounts in a van. So I might just go to like a Brown It's Down hunter just because of where I live.
Well, plus you'd need the food.
Mm-hmm.
I think if that happened to me, I'd figure out a way to get a job and save up enough money to head south, and I would go try to figure out how to be a fishing guide in the ocean. I just do it
every
12
day.
Months a year.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I do. When I went down to Florida, I do feel like people down there were a little bit happier because of the amount of sunshine, but there was a couple days when we were down there, it was hot as shit, and they didn't look very happy then.
Well, right. I think generally it's a pretty good thing to get some sun on your skin and not have 5 months of stupid ass winter where you're stuck inside and it's dark at, you know, 4:45 at night. Yeah.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. How close are you to this happening? Like, you just pack your family up and move to Florida and become a fishing guide?
Well, I'm not taking them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No. All right.
No. They're the whole reason I'm stuck in this place to begin with. Look, this bird's flying south solo.
And never coming back.
I'll come back in the fall to hunt a little bit, maybe. Maybe fish up here. I don't know.
In this reality, are you sending them money, or are you just, is it a cold cut?
No.
It's just worst.
It's time
worst
for them to swim
dad.
On their own. Yeah.
Okay.
Little ducklings.
Yeah. People need to grow up.
Yeah.
Especially in this world.
Well, they just turned 13. It's time.
It's time.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, 5,000 years ago, they would have had a job, probably the family of their own.
Yep.
Like, they're way behind.
This is going to sound crazy, but probably not, coming from this podcast. If an Arab oil tycoon approached you and said, Tony, I want your daughters to be my wives, how much money would it take for you to ship your 13-year-old daughters to Saudi Arabia?
There is no amount of money there, buddy.
Okay. All right.
They're 13.
Okay. So so that's your limit, right? So
right.
We've in this conversation, we've now found the limit. You will not be selling your daughters to an oil tycoon from Saudi Arabia.
Right. I probably won't auction off my kids for that.
And believe it or not, that's the right
My
answer.
Wife? Listen. There's a conversation to be had there.
Oh, so you think your wife would sell them?
No, no, no. I'd sell my wife.
Oh, that's way more realistic.
Yeah.
That's way more realistic, yeah.
If I was my daughters are off the table, but she's available.
Yeah.
I'd be like, let's just start. You write a number on a piece of paper and slide it across the table. We'll see where we end up.
Yeah. And there's a little part of me that thinks that my wife would definitely be okay with it.
Yeah.
If she was to leave for a completely different lifestyle in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Well, she was texting me last night and I got the vibe that she was ready to hit the eject button.
Okay. So at this part in the conversation, do we start talking about divorce or do we start talking about healthy relationships?
Well, aren't they? They're linked up, right?
I think. I don't know.
You don't know anymore? I don't either.
I don't either, dude. I stopped. Like, there. I understand at our age, we're like, I used to, you see hollowness in men at our age. And I was just like, I would look at my buddy's dads and my dad and just be like, man, and they see just life. Like life's okay. I mean, why are they so upset all the time? But now you realize like the midlife crisis is real. Like your body changes, your all the things that you like were very optimistic about going into life have kind of come to a halt. And
there's a certain point where reality just settles in and you accept it and you go, oh
yeah,
oh
yeah.
Really? Sit? Yeah. This is it? Another podcast about deer getting yelled at about something.
You can hear it in my voice when I start doing it. It's like, all right, guys, welcome to the Nine Finger Chronicles. Today, we're going to talk about the rut again.
Rub lines, buddy.
Rub lines. Today, we're going to dive into rub lines. And really just break this open. And we're going to, I can guarantee you, it's going to lead to much greater success in the woods.
Do you know what I think the secret to hunting content is? I probably shouldn't share this with the world.
Okay, what is it?
I think it's not so, I think people want that, hey, how do I look at a scrape and figure out how to hunt it type mm-hmm. of stuff. But I think they mostly just want encouragement to try stuff.
Yeah.
Because when somebody reaches out to me, it's always after... I'm like, hey, I just started using a doe decoy and we killed 3 deer off it and it's been amazing and here's how I set it up. And now somebody's like, oh, I have a doe decoy or I can get one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rarely are you like, here's my strategy for hunting beds. And somebody's like, I followed it to a T and killed 170 incher, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I like what you did there too. You pulled us back into reality for just,
did I?
Yeah, you did. You did a really good job there of saying like, you know, this is a hunting podcast. Now we're talking about hunting. We're not talking about how shitty our lives are right now. That was good. That's,
I mean,
one
we
thing
can talk about divorce. I'm
no, no, that would be boring or not really boring because, you know, we all think it, but,
but I think eventually you and I are going to do a real podcast on divorce.
You think so? Who do you think's going first? You or me?
God, I hope it's me.
You hope?
I know who I'm rooting for, buddy. It's not you. I'm going to jump this line here if I can, if you're cool with that. Just slide under the ropes, take the first spot. Hand over my information. What do I do? Where do I go, guys?
Did your wife ever listen to this stuff or not?
Do you think my wife listens to the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast?
She follows me. She messages me all the time. She's like, hey, what are you and Tony talking about?
Well, that
about?
Would be a plot twist. If you ended up with my wife and I ended up with yours, that would be a fun podcast.
Oh, man. I don't think my wife is going to ever, if we were going to split, I don't think she would ever get remarried.
She would.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. Your wife?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What was
She's
that?
She's going to marry for the right reasons, finally.
Financially.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, she probably could have hung out, like, she could have probably waited just a couple more months and someone much more reasonable to marry would have showed up. Yeah, so there's that. All right, it's Christmas time. Talk to me a little bit about Tony Peterson's methodology towards Christmas gifts and how you approach that with your family.
Dude, I hate shopping mm-hmm. so much.
Mm-hmm.
So much. So what I do is I go big. Okay. So we go down to Florida every year, or usually every year for spring break. I'm like, I'll book the house. I'll pay for it. I'll pay for the plane tickets. and that's it. I'm out. I don't have to wrap anything.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't want to do that. I don't, dude, I was in Montana last week, and when my wife and kids picked me up at the airport, because I flew in Friday night, they're like, let's go to Shields and look around, because they really like Shields. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whatever. I'm like, can we just not turn this into like a big shopping trip? Because I'm like, I want to go home. And then, of course, it's attached to a mall. And it's like that's like the seventh ring of hell for me. Hate it. Can't do it. No bueno.
Yep. And so basically you're buying the experience.
Yep.
And then you're going like a car dealer. You're doing this hand deal and you're out.
Yep.
Okay. Hey, I like that.
Go big.
Go big. That's right. Now, let me ask you a question. Your wife, then does she also go big with gifts and possessions for the girls, or are you guys more conservative that way?
You know, when the girls were younger, I'm sure you saw this too. Yeah. It was like a avalanche of shit, just toys and like a bunch of stuff that you're just throwing away, you know, like 2 months down the road, 5 months down the road, whatever. So she's dialed that back. But, you know, my kids they're old enough now where they want like clothes and,
yeah,
you know, like people aren't just heaping piles of shit on you just because it's Christmas, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I go down the gift card route. So when anybody asks me, hey, what do you want? What do your boys want for Christmas? I'm like, dude, get them a gift card. They'll figure it out. Like, right. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, hey, go get them a box of Legos that they'll put together one time, and then they'll set on a shelf, and then it will fall over, and then they won't put it back together, and then it ends up in a box that's never touched, also in their room next to another box of stuff they haven't touched for 5 years. So, and then eventually what I do, and this is what pisses my wife off probably the most about my personality, is I'll rent a dumpster. And when she leaves, it's a no question. Like, I don't have to check in with anybody before I throw something away. The only issue is, I don't know why I'm whispering, because she's all the way downstairs, but I think I accidentally threw away an entire box of Christmas decorations this year. The last time I threw it down, she's like, I can't believe, where are they? I'm like, I don't know. But I think in my head, I might have accidentally thrown them away.
Well, too bad.
Yeah, too bad.
You didn't need them anyway. I mean, really. Hey, speaking of your wife, have you noticed anything like with her memory? Is your wife like starting to forget shit?
Well, she remembers all the shit that I do.
Right.
But like, I guess I really haven't noticed. Like, give me an example of the type of things that she could be potentially forgetting.
Well, there's two layers to this. My family loses phones and hairbrushes and TV remotes nonstop. It's all we do. And it's crazy annoying, but that's like base level, right? Yeah. But my wife is like forgetting stuff lately. Like when I came back from Montana, I was super tired and it was like 9:45. I'm like, I'm going to let the dogs out. I'm going to go to bed, implying that you should get the dogs, you know, bring them back inside here.
Yeah.
And so like 20 minutes later, she runs in the bedroom. She's like, you forgot the dogs outside. I was like, no, I didn't. Like, we went over this. And so then 2 days later, we had a basketball tournament, because all we do is go watch terrible seventh grade basketball in my life right now. And it ended at like 4:00. So I'm like, I'm going to the gym, going to go for a run. So when I left, she took the dogs to the park because they'd been inside all day. So I come home, did a run, sat the steam room, talked to a buddy of mine. So it was like a 2-hour trip to the gym. Yep. I come home and walk in, and the pup greets me, but the old dog doesn't. I'm like, oh, maybe she got super wore out and she's just snoozing somewhere and didn't hear me come in or something, which is pretty unusual, but it like could happen because she's getting old.
Yeah.
And then I made some food and I'm like looking around. I'm like, where's Luna? So I look through the house, can't find my dog. I'm like, guys, where's the old dog? And they're like, oh, she's upstairs or whatever. I'm like, I just went through the house. I go through the house again, and I'm like, the dog's not here.
Yeah.
And so then I look, and my wife's walking out to her car and opens the car door, and my dog's still in her car from the trip she took 2 hours ago. And I was like, you just chewed my ass for leaving the dogs outside when I told you to go get them. And then you came home from the park and just let the pup out and just left our old dog stuck in there in a December Minnesota winter.
Hey, so you're lucky it wasn't July or we'd be having a different conversation. God.
If she cooked that dog, oh.
That's when we start talking time, about. Buddy. Yeah, that's when we start talking about divorce.
Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, I'm on the opposite end. I don't like our dog. And so I open the back door and I let it run out and then I purposely forget about it. But we have a really cool community where I live where if your dog is out, they will post it to a Facebook page and they'll be like, hey, whose dog is this? And then someone knows our dog and then they message us, oh, your dog's out. I'm like, oh, great. Looks like I got to move to the country to get rid of the dogs. So
right.
Anyway, and then my wife's like, didn't you remember to let him back in? I'm like, no, I didn't.
Why don't you like your dog?
It serves no purpose other than me spending money on it. It's not a bird dog. It doesn't go retrieve sheds. It doesn't even really do tricks. It just takes naps all day. And here's two things. One, my wife gets so mad at it when it barks. Someone will knock at the door. It barks. It goes crazy. My wife then goes crazy. Oh, God, shut up. Shut up. Shut up. And then she'll say stuff like, my wife is notorious for saying things that she doesn't mean. Like, I hate you. Like, I hate this dog. I want to get rid of it. It was so stupid that we bought it. But then a couple minutes later, she'll be, I love you. I love you so much. Petting it and doing that. Anyway, it's a cockapoo. And so it serves no purpose other than to have a cockapoo in your house. And so
was this a situation where you were involved in the process to procure this dog?
Mm-hmm. 100%. I paid for it, Tony.
No. But what this, I mean, was this like the kids are like, oh my God, there's puppies. We got to get one. Like how deep were you in the process of like finding this dog?
Okay, so my wife went on to the internet and she started researching dogs to buy. And I said, if we're going to get a dog, at least get a lab. But then, of course, what I say does not exist. And so she's like, I like this cockapoo. Her last dog was a Maltese. So it was a couch dog as well. Right. And you can't really even do anything with it. So she buys a male. This male is crazy. I mean, it just runs back and forth in the house, and then it sleeps all day. And then, like, right at night when we're trying to get ready for bed, it picks up a toy and wants to play, and then it just – anyway. So she was like, I want a dog. I want a dog. I want a dog. And then there's – this is what I don't get. All year long, Tony, men, they're like, I'm putting my foot down. I'm going to put my foot down. This time, I'm putting my foot down. And then they go, I want a dog. Oh, yeah, I'll buy it for you. I'll get you the dog. Men have got to be the dumbest creatures on planet Earth, period. Because they're all talk. And then their wife steps up and they're like, I don't want this dog, but because I want to make someone happy and I got to listen to less of something else, I'm just going to buy the dog to make somebody happy and hopefully make the problem go away.
Do you know a very recent example that I experienced about that really kind of highlights this whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. Men are not in control.
No.
Like society likes to talk about how we are. We're really not. Yeah. If you've been married, you're not in control. The other night we were at a Christmas deal with my wife's family and my wife and one of her sisters started talking about the Christmas present they got for their father, so my father-in-law. But in typical fashion, my mother-in-law injected herself into the process. Mm-hmm. And long story shorter, they ended up getting their father a really nice toolbox, like a big rolling toolbox for his garage, whatever. He's got motorcycles. He likes to mess around with shit like that. But the mother-in-law wanted to influence this decision. And then when she found out what toolbox they got, she lost her shit because she doesn't want one that big in her garage. And so my wife and her sister were bitching about this and like how kind of like manipulative that was. And I was like, hang on, you guys realize what's going on here. Like, you're exactly the same as her. You just got a dose of your own medicine and now you're all up in arms and pissed off about it. And then they turned against me and mobilized against me. I'm like, I'm just making an observation here, but they didn't want to hear it. But I'm like, they met the final boss, kind of, you know, then they thought they were in charge, but they weren't. And I'm like, do you not see, like, can you not see this? And boy, did they not want to hear that.
Yeah. And so in this scenario, you are Switzerland and they're the access of evil. And you're just like, hey, I just want to point something out here real quick. And they're like, no, we must attack you.
I just felt like it was my obligation, my duty as a human being to be like, you understand this is exactly how you guys operate, right? You just got outbossed, and boy, they didn't want that.
Okay, so what did you learn from this experience?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing. So
I'll do it again.
Okay, you will. All right. Yeah. And is this because you're like, you enjoy the little arguments and proving them wrong?
Dude, I love arguing. Okay. I just do. Right. That's why it's a total train wreck when a guy like Steve Rinella and I hunt together. Mm-hmm. All we do is argue.
Okay.
Because he's the same way.
Yeah. So it's like, there's times where I like to pick my battles, but when logic is the main contributing factor to the argument, I will plant my feet and I will be like, okay, so here's the most recent one. This is going back to Christmas gifts. We go into Shields. I like Shields. Don't get me wrong. I have a couple really good friends there. I go there to get my bow tuned. I go there to get some arrow work done. The guys that work there, top class. We go in there, and we're talking to a guy about a youth baseball bat. This baseball bat is going to be purchased for a 7-year-old that is in coach pitch baseball. And my wife is like, okay, you know, talk to me about what's the difference between these bats, $50-$60, and these bats, $150 to $500 for a youth baseball bat. Are you kidding me? Anyway, the guy's like, yeah, those are more for like a T-ball, you know, your introductory. This right here, and my son, this is his like second year of what I guess you would consider club baseball, but it's coach pitch.
Right.
And he's like, this bat, much better material, much better pop off the bat. And that's all she heard. And she was sold on this. And logic steps in, right? And I go, Sarah, he is 7 years old. He is in a coach pitch league. He does not even know how to properly swing the bat yet, as far as form is concerned. This garage bat, I call it the garage bat because the kids like hit rocks with it and they're just beat the shit out of trees with it and stuff, dents and dings in it. This bat and this bat will perform the exact same for a 7-year-old of his experience. Now, if he was just like some stud with a great swing, yes, I could justify this. But that pop off the bat that you're using here is not going to work for a 7-year-old who can, like, it just isn't. And so I bought the bat. Like, you know, like I'm sitting there, I'm going, no, 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 no. Oh, yes. And so, you know what I mean? Like,
right. Right.
But then, so I don't, okay. I gotta talk a little bit about me here a second. You ever look in the mirror or you have these internal conversations with yourself where you're talking, like there's also like a couple memes where you see a video of a guy going, that's because I'm the man. And what I say goes in this house, and you're going to do this. You're going to do this. You're going to do this. And then the camera like just fades to a mirror of him talking to himself. And then his wife comes in the room. He's like, she's like, who are you talking to? And he's like, oh, nobody.
That's you.
Oh yeah. Like dude, I puff my chest all the time when she's not around. I'm like, yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm the man. And then she comes in and she's just like, hey, what's going on? Oh, nothing. What do you want to do? What do you want?
Dude, like, that's real power. When somebody you could absolutely crush in a cage fight
physically,
100% of the time has power over you, that sucks.
Yeah. My wife goes, she goes, I can do more push-ups than you. And I go, guess what? You probably can. I can guarantee you can do more push-ups than me. But I can pick you up one-handed and put you through this wall. And you could hit me as hard as you want in the face, and I would still keep coming at you. You have no
just
power.
Just laugh those shots right off.
Exactly.
Just yeet her through the wall.
Yeah, it would be like a ping pong ball hitting me in the face.
Right.
And I don't know. I just envisioned me throwing my wife and then had a smile on my face when I thought about it. I would never do it. Like, I would never do it, but I'm sure there's a lot of
guys. If you had to get her out of the way of a charging tiger or something?
Oh, yeah. Or like if the house was on fire and
just throw her right out of a window?
Throw her through the window.
Right.
To save her life.
Right.
Best interest for her.
You better make sure that that fire started for good reasons.
Exactly.
You better make sure they can't track that fire back.
Yeah. More than likely, it's a curling iron that has been left on.
Mm.
And then one of the kids knocked it onto the carpet.
Right.
It started the house on fire. Nothing that I did.
Yeah. But the stick in the bathroom.
Exactly. Exactly.
Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco for the hardworking American.
Like, this might be the craziest one we've done yet. You think it is?
I don't know.
Of all the times we've got together, what's been the highlight of these conversations for you?
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
Well, I would just say that it's just wonderful to not talk about deer hunting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you excited? Are you excited for ice fishing at all? No. Okay. Well, there's that.
No. I can't eat fish and I don't drink anymore. So
there goes ice fishing. Cause that's,
well,
why don't you eat fish anymore?
Cause they'll kill me. I don't,
you're allergic to fish,
right?
Holy shit.
Yep.
So, wait a second. I just found this out.
Mm-hmm.
So, what happens when you're lipping a smallmouth? Do you get a reaction?
Nope.
Only if it's ingested.
Well, yes. But also, if I clean fish and like a fillet touches like my wrist or something, I'll break out.
So, it's not the scales, it's the meat.
Right. If I eat fish, it is like I swallowed poison. I can feel it spread through my body instantly. It's horrible.
Gotcha. Right. Does your wife then ever forget and make a fish dish for you?
No, because she doesn't do a whole lot of cooking. Okay. But what my wife does forget, I am not a picky eater.
Okay? Neither am I.
But there are a few things I hate. Okay. Coconut. Ugh. I hate coconut everything. The smell, the taste, the texture, green peppers. I hate. Hate them.
You hate green peppers?
Yeah. All the other peppers, big fan. Green peppers, hard pass.
Now, I'm sorry to interrupt here, but you like red peppers and yellow peppers. Like, we're talking bell peppers, right?
Right. Yep.
Okay. So, I haven't really experienced a huge taste difference in a red bell pepper versus a yellow bell pepper versus a green bell pepper. So why do you only hate green bell peppers?
There's a difference, buddy. I don't know. Yeah, I just don't like them. I don't like the flavor at all. It's kind of like eating, you know how some people, I think it's like a genetic component, but cilantro, they'll be like, oh, it tastes like soap. When most of the population's like, it's fine. It's in salsa and shit like that. Yeah. Green peppers are just gross. And my wife, like every once in a while, I'll be coming home from somewhere. She'll be like, I'm going to order pizzas. Or I ordered pizzas. And then it'll show up and it'll have green peppers on it. I'm like, you've known me for like 25 years and I've hated these consistently. Like, oh, sorry, I forgot. Like, really?
Mm-hmm. So coconut, green peppers, what else?
Those are the two big ones. Two big ones. I love like desserts and sugary shit.
Oh, same here.
But if it has,
that's my weakness.
Dude,
that's
if it has weakness. Coconut, anything. Yeah, the worst is like shredded coconut.
Yeah.
Blech.
Yeah, I'm not a coconut person. I the only time I will drink, I'll do a coconut drink where it has got a little flavor I don't drink as much as I used to as well. But in the summertime, I like a Malibu rum with coconut. Or little coconut, little pineapple juice, like just a little refreshing type drink.
A nice fruity drink for the summer.
Exactly. I like that. Right. Yeah. So I like tomatoes, but I also don't like I like tomatoes, but I don't like them really on sandwiches.
How do you like them?
I like them.
Just eat them like an apple, like a total savage.
No. I don't like that. I don't like them on most sandwiches, but I do like a BLT. I do like them with BLT. I think the bacon is the key contributing deal.
Salt,
there.
Buddy.
Yeah. The other thing I really like is a toast mayonnaise, and it has to be the garden stuff, not the stuff from the store. Like a fresh, real garden tomato from like a farmer's market, and a cucumber, and that's it. You don't like cucumbers?
That's the other one. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm like, what's the point here? I'm just like eating this watery dong. I don't know. This frog dong.
Have you seen those videos of like, I don't know. I think it's called chat roulette, where it looks like what we're looking at right now. And you click a spin button and you will randomly get another person throughout the entire world to talk to. Right. And so obviously there's a lot of pedophiles and freaks on there, but my favorite is when they have Kermit the Frog. Like, you'll get Kermit the Frog sometime and he'll pull up so he'll be sitting like this, but he'll like pull up a cucumber. So it looks like a frog dick. And all these people are like, what? And then it gets a good laugh. And so
I don't want to kink shame you here, but where did you find this?
The internet. I'm not on chat roulette. It's like
you didn't just
TikTok
find this out in the wild.
No. Frogs don't have dicks that big, dude. I don't even think, do frogs have dicks?
I don't know. I've caught a lot of frogs and I never noticed one.
Yeah.
I don't think they were all females.
Do you know what would be hilarious? If all animals had exposed genitalia like humans have.
Well, you know how, a lot of them do.
But not on the outside.
Well, right. That would be exposed genitalia.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just saying, like, a lot of them do.
Yeah, like if a bird... Like, you're driving down the window or driving down the street and you hit a horsefly and that horsefly had junk that just slapped across your windshield.
Right.
That would make nature more hilarious.
It would have to be a very well hung horsefly.
Exactly. Or like a butterfly. Like a butterfly just flopping through the pasture, and you're just, oh, that's so beautiful. And then you see it's junk.
Just slaps its wang just on your face.
It. Yeah. Like,
that's like Mark's dream come true.
There it is.
When he's out catching butterflies.
There it is. I'm going to check the insult Mark Kenyon box, and we've done it. It's right here. We've done it today. I got, like, there should be, we should, have you ever heard of those roast battles?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think you and Mark should go head-to-head on a roast battle.
Anytime, buddy.
Anytime? Do you think you would destroy him, or would he destroy you?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I don't care. I just want to be a part of it.
Okay. Well, you need to reach out to whoever your manager of content is at Meat Eater and do that. Set that up.
I think that's more of a Nine Fingers feed.
Okay. All right. So probably a little bit difference of an audience.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I think if I told my, well, nah, because they'd want to Meat Eater it up and then it wouldn't be funny anymore. Because he'd be like, you can't say this about Mark. We have an HR department.
Okay. Oh, yeah. They forgot. I am the HR department here. So all complaints have to go through me. And usually I'm the only one complaining. So I have to. It's all internal. It's just me against myself.
Right.
Yeah.
We actually have a fully staffed HR department at Meat Eater. So it's.
How many people are in the HR department at Meat Eater?
Two. That's okay. All they need.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah.
And how often do you think that the human resources department at Meat Eater get complaints about their employees?
Well, you're familiar more often than they would like, I think.
Okay.
Have you ever interacted with Dave Smith from Dave Smith Decoys? Do you know him at all?
I do not.
Dave is a wonderful person and he is funny as hell. Like, yep. Dave is a funny guy, super talented, interesting dude, whatever. I love Dave to death. Well, we had a meeting, a big company-wide deal last summer or this past summer, and Dave was making some jokes on stage in front of everybody, and then he made a joke about Gaza that was maybe a little insensitive. And literally as soon as he said it, like, the whole place got real quiet. And everybody looked at our HR gal, and she was just like she just knew. So it happens.
Okay. Let's daydream for just a little bit, and let's talk. Let's say Meat Eater acquires, just like they did Wired to Hunt. Meat Eater acquires the Nine Finger Chronicles. Would I have to go through rigorous training in order to meet the Meat Eater standards?
I would say no.
No. Okay.
I would say that I didn't go through any training. They're just like, here you go. Do some stuff. I was like, all right.
So, okay. All right. So they let you fly on your own.
They give you a lot of rope to hang yourself. It's nice.
Perfect.
It's actually nice.
Perfect. And that's why are they trying to get rid of you by, because you've come on this show a lot, and have they ever said anything to you like, dude, I don't think it's a good idea that you talk with Dan Johnson anymore?
No, I don't think my
boss. That sounded like a ton of hesitation.
Well, I was thinking about other stuff I've been talked to about.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't that. No, I don't. I really don't think that. They know. In fact, my podcast editor was like, hey, you need to let me know when you're on other podcasts because we'll promote them. And I was like, let's just not. We don't.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just doing some favors for a couple of
guys.
So
be like, what was the topic today on that podcast you were on? I was like, I don't. Frog penises? I don't.
Frog. Just genitalia in nature?
Yeah.
It was the main theme. I think it would be hilarious to have a conversation with a wildlife biologist where you ask them these like what if questions, like what if butterflies actually had genitalia like humans, and just say it very seriously and then just watch their brain work. how someone in a serious position like that would answer that question.
I don't think they would enjoy it very much. They're kind of like the accountants of the wildlife world.
Yeah.
Pretty straightforward. Not a lot of fun.
Did you hear that, wildlife biologist? That's
actually
the title,
you know,
of this
who
episode.
Gets pissed off the most is accountants, and I don't know why. And golfers. Oh, and religious people.
That religious, yeah.
Yep.
Yep. About to watch out for that. I think I found the title for this episode is Tony Peterson Hates Wildlife Biologists.
Please don't.
Oh, don't? Okay, I won't do that then. All right. But we do got to come up with something catchy that will attract people to this.
Right.
And then there will be downloads.
Is my name not good enough?
Oh, the Tony Peterson Show? Just call it the Tony Peterson Show?
I'm just saying, you attach me to it. People don't come. They don't flock to the.
Oh, fuck. They knock down the doors when you're
That's what I
here.
Thought.
Yeah.
Old Doorbuster Peterson.
Oh, yeah. Was that your nickname in high school? Did you have a nickname in high school?
Not really.
Not really?
No. When I screw up, my name is Tony. It's not Anthony or anything. When I screw up in my head, I call myself Antoine.
Antoine?
Yeah.
Antoine Peterson.
Like
that's today's episode.
Like if I miss a, like if Antoine. I miss a rooster with both barrels when I knew he was going to get up, I'm like, Antoine, seriously?
Come on,
seriously?
Antoine.
Yeah.
Do you think the name Antoine carries more respect or less respect than Tony?
Way more.
Right. Unless you're a soprano, and then it's like, hey,
you think those guys aren't getting respect?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But they're not. Their name also isn't Antoine. It's Tony, but it's probably Anthony, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
don't know.
You just made that one emoji.
The shoulder shrug?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What else? What else are we going to talk about?
I don't know. Hey, I watched Alien Romulus the other night. Have you seen that yet?
I have. I, for some reason, the other night, I sat down and I popped up and I watched it and I'm just like, I didn't really pay attention to a ton of it because I was kind of on my computer doing a little work, but I also watched it. What are your thoughts on the Alien movie?
Well, I love them all. I don't know why. Okay. I like that franchise, but I watched that one and I don't know what my problem is. I did this with Prometheus. I did this with Alien Covenant. And now I did this with Romulus where I was like, I'm so excited to see it. And I don't really get that excited over movies. Mm-hmm. And then I watched it. And for like 45 minutes, I'm like, this is boring. And then for like an hour and 15 minutes, I was like, why am I doing this to myself? Mm-hmm. This is just pure torture.
Yep.
And once that one gets going, yikes. Yikes.
Yeah. You just don't. I'll tell you what. It's been a while since I have watched a movie where I was completely captivated by it. The last one was Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey. I absolutely love those types of movies where the director and the writer, everything in there matters. Like when they land on that big planet, they're there for what, an hour or two, and decades go by on Earth. Right. That's all the theory of relativity and all that stuff. Like it's all in that movie. And I love when something like that happens. But I also really enjoy the complete opposite type of movie, like Idiocracy or Step Brothers, where none of it matters.
Right.
Right. I can't do like a shitty halfway movie. It either has to be this movie was made for nonsense or this movie was made to be as accurate as humanly possible.
Right.
I can't do the in-between.
Dude, totally. I literally just had a conversation about this with my podcast editor because I'm like, I love like documentaries on history and shit like that. And but I also watch like a lot of Family Guy kind of stuff.
Yep.
And I'm like, I just have like, it's just two ends of it. Like you need the serious stuff that you really have to give your brain to, and then you need some stuff that's just pure dumb entertainment.
Yeah. So
wait, where do you think this podcast falls on that spectrum?
Definitely the Step Brothers, like definitely Idiocracy. I mean, like I feel, I'll be completely honest with you
right now, get up to 20% off select online storage solutions. Put heavy duty HDX totes to good use, protecting what's important to you. The solid, impact-resistant design prevents cracking, and the clear base and sides make items easy to find, even when the totes are stacked. Find select online shelving and tote storage up to 20% off at the Home Depot to organize every room in your home, from your garage to your attic. Visit homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
I feel I am a really good interviewer based off of the individual that I'm interviewing. So I have enough knowledge where I can interview a wildlife biologist and talk about the details of whatever we're talking about. I can talk to historians and match what they're doing. And I can ask good questions to anybody to get the answers out. But I can also, which is more along the lines of who I really am, be the idiot douchebag who people laugh at. Like that is more of where I guess I'm proud of. Is just like, dude, I love the messages where like, dude, Dan, I love when you and Tony get together and don't talk about anything, because I get more smiles and laugh my ass off on those episodes than I do, you know. But it's also cool to have the guys be like, hey, dude, kick-ass conversation you had with so-and-so about whatever the case may be. And so, right. I don't know. I like to sprinkle in a little bit of everything.
Right. There's a lot of take yourself seriously in the outdoor space. Like, oh, a lot of people who just really kind of want to present that image. Yeah. And I mean, that's fine for some stuff. When you have somebody who's like a rock star at some tactic, or they just have it figured out in some way, that's fine.
Yeah.
But you can't have too much of that.
No. And that's exactly where I'm at right now. So now we're coming post-season hunting and we're done with all the tactics. I mean, I just had a conversation this morning about late season hunting. Right, for the How to Hunt Deer podcast, a deep dive into, I just even hate saying the word deep dive because it makes me sound like a douche. Hey, we're going to have a deep dive into late season hunting tactics. It's necessary, right? In order for me to do what I do, I need to have those conversations, but I did it. I checked the box, right? But that's why I have this, it's followed by this podcast. So I went professional to not professional in a matter of 3 hours today. And so now it's just back to business as usual, I guess.
I am more comfortable being your unprofessional guest.
Yeah. And that's why I continue to have it, because of your unprofessionalism.
Well, it's wonderful to be recognized for that, because I try to bring as little professionalism to this as I can.
Yeah. That sparked something just now. Tony, all of a sudden, by the way, you're okay, right? You hit a deer with your truck this year.
Right.
All right. It toasted your truck, or what's the deal? How much?
Well, it removed a lot of the stuff on the front of my truck that you like to just have there in place. Mm-hmm. So that was a bummer.
Yeah.
I just got it back. That was not having a truck for most of November was a real kick to the knackers. You know,
did you have to borrow like a Ford Taurus or something?
Well, I had to film a show, so they had to rent me a truck, which was a pain in the ass, but whatever. And then I ended up just dropping my wife off at work and, you know, picking her up. And so, but just not having a vehicle sucked so much.
At least you got to spend time with your wife. I mean, that sounds like just quality time.
Right. It's great driving your wife to work every day.
Yeah.
Really solidified our bond.
Yeah. And that's what you need at our age, right? It's just to continue to just be closer and closer together spiritually, physically, mentally. And I think it's going to last forever.
Right. I mean, when I see deer in the ditch now, I'm hoping they come up so I can hit another one and spend more time with my wife at 6:30 in the morning driving her to the physical therapy clinic.
You might even be going into the ditch to hit a deer at this point. Right. Man, you've got it figured out. All right. So the whole point... The whole point of this was, what happened if that deer, you hit that deer, you spun out of control, you went off a bridge, and you died, all right? What is Tony Peterson's legacy left behind in the hunting industry and the hunting community?
You know, I've probably written more squirrel hunting articles than almost anybody.
Something to hang your hat on.
Right? Yep. Right? I killed a lot of average bucks. I taught Mark Kenyon how to hunt and Steve Rinella.
Okay. And would that be on your, would that be the epitaph?
Mm-hmm. It's in my will.
In your will.
Yep.
Okay. I can see that.
I don't know what my legacy is going to be, buddy.
You don't know?
I don't care.
You don't care. All right. Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I think my legacy would be if you were to go and ask somebody about Dan Johnson, right? Dan Johnson. Tell me a little bit about Dan Johnson. They would go, Dan who? And that would be it.
Well, people in the hunting community would know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I stopped listening to that podcast years ago.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I
think we've flown as high as we're going to fly, buddy. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah. You get any closer, you're just getting burnt.
Right.
Yeah.
We want to just stay this level of famous.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which really isn't famous.
Yeah. We're going to stay humble.
Yeah.
Stick to our roots.
Do you ever get approached in public by anybody or out in public when you travel or anywhere like, hey, I recognize you or I know you. Do you?
Since it had happened to me a few times previously, but since Meat Eater, yes.
Yes. Okay.
And it's always very bizarre for me.
Yeah. Do they ever ask for your autograph?
Yep. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Which is very awkward for me.
Does it make you feel like a stud when you're next to your wife or your daughters?
My daughters hate it.
Okay, they hate it.
They hate it because they know that I'm going to get into a conversation and I'm going to be listening to a couple deer hunting stories and looking at pictures of the buck that was killed.
Yeah.
You know, and so they're like, I don't know. They want to just keep moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually love it. I just love talking about deer. I think that's why, seeing stories and pictures and stuff like that. All the thing, what really humbles me is when some guy pulls out his phone. I go, hey, dude, did you have a good season? And he goes, yeah, I did all right. And he shows me a picture of an absolute giant that is bigger than any buck I've ever killed or even maybe two of my bucks put together. And I'm just like, oh, yeah. Yep. Congratulations. And it's just, it's almost less of a chest beat moment and more of a, let's bring you back down just a little bit. You're not the shit that you think you are. Right.
Yeah.
But my daughter, it happened to me, some guy came up to me and goes, do you have a podcast? And I go, actually I do. Yeah. And he goes, your voice sounds very familiar. And my daughter, she was like, oh my God, Dad, you got recognized in public. That's freaking sweet, dude. Cause she's all like, you ask her what she wants to do. She's like, I want to be a YouTube star. I want to be a dancer and a YouTube star. And I'm like, it's good to have realistic goals. So at some point I'm going to have to probably smash those dreams.
Dude.
Better know reality's coming.
It's crazy that that's like an aspirational option. Goal for kids.
Yeah. And I mean, you do it right. So I'll say this. Some of the best advice that I've ever had is you don't have to be gigantic. You don't whether it's a business or whether it's in the hunting industry, you don't have to be number one to make it.
Right.
You don't have to be huge. I'll be completely honest. I'm not at the top of any list for anything that I do, but I make enough money to survive in this world, getting to talk to guys like you and other hunters throughout the country. And I'm okay with being fourth or fifth place because fourth and fifth place, sixth place, whatever the case is, shit, that pays the bills, dude.
Right.
And this one guy was like, dude, you don't have to be huge. You can be small and small and you can make a living in this industry.
Right. I mean, slightly better than average is wonderful.
Exactly. Exactly. And that pretty much is my persona in a nutshell. Dan Johnson, 100% average. 100% average. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I think that's your next podcast, dude.
100% average? The 100% average podcast.
Right.
There you go. Love it. Tony, is there anything else that we need to vent about today, or have we hit the limit and do we call her quits? I'm going to let it be up to you.
You know, I don't really have. I've been hunting a little bit, taking my daughters out, forcing them to suffer through some cold hunts, but... Mm-hmm. It's pretty, It's mostly just kind of that hunting where you're just like, I got to just get it in a little bit here before it's done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not taking it super seriously. Just like, let's just go. Maybe we'll see a couple before the whole thing closes up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I came to the realization this past weekend where I got a muzzleloader. It's actually setting out. I need to go shoot it, but I would rather, I shot two bucks, right? I got my Kansas buck. I got my South Dakota mule deer. First one ever. I'm jacked about that. I didn't get one in Iowa. I passed, you know, passed some decent deer in Iowa. Like, I didn't really care that much. I could sit here and bitch about all the things that I've already bitched about the rut right. being slow and all that shit. But muzzleloader is coming up quick. We're at second season shotgun here in Iowa. And I think I would rather go spend time doing wrestling with my kids or going doing baseball with my kids and going to tournaments than going hunting. I don't know, like, I feel like $2 in 1 year is a huge success for me. Right. And even though I didn't, you know, put the nail in the coffin in Iowa, and I still got my archery tag and my muzzleloader tag here in Iowa, I could change my mind, but dude, I don't love this time of year as opposed to right. October and November. And right. so I don't know, man, I'm just tough. Past it, I guess. I don't know.
It's weird because I know that you had this issue this year, and Mark did, a lot of people I talked to did, where it was just like a weird rut. A lot yeah. of southeast winds, foggy, kind of like mm-hmm. weird. It was like weird conditions.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, I felt like I didn't get to hunt the rut hardly at all because of my truck situation, whatever. So I thought like I was going to be just raring to go late season, like yeah. just because I didn't get it when you're supposed to. Mm-hmm. And it's just like the moment has passed and it's like, okay, well, what now? Let's shoot some roosters. Let's do some yeah. other stuff. Yeah. I hear you. It's not that important to be so hardcore to me now that you have to just get it just because you can. Now you have to.
Yeah. 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 That's always been a balancing act for me, is to try to get out. Okay. So what do I need to do this year? Like what kind of hunting do I need to do to be able to continue to do what I'm doing? And so, I don't know. I feel like I want to get out and maybe do it, but I don't want to sit in negative 25 degree temps.
Right.
I don't want to, like, if it's heavy, heavy snow, I don't want to drive all the way down to my main farm or my other farm that's like 4 hours away. And so I just feel like I'm perfectly happy. I mean, my goal was to fill all four buck tags this year. That's not going to happen, but I'm happy with right. what has expired or transpired. I think the biggest thing for me, the Kansas experience was great, but it was the first mule deer with my bow that my sixth season was a success. The second I got back to the truck after that pack out in South Dakota.
Right.
Like, I was so happy at that point. Anything that happened after that didn't really matter.
Right.
So.
That's kind of how I felt this year. My daughter killed that bear. I was like,
yeah,
I'm good. Whatever. Yeah. You know.
What's the non-resident situation for bear hunting where you guys hunt?
Well, so we were in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, you have the same odds as a resident. So you got to buy some points and just apply. And you can the points game there is pretty easy to figure out.
Yeah.
So that's good. Minnesota, I don't know about Minnesota. I've only ever hunted the no quota zone in Minnesota, so it was over the counter. Mm-hmm. But there are bear opportunities out there. The thing that sucks about bear hunting as a non-resident, and I mean, even we are over there, but I can get there in 2.5 hours, is if you want to do it right, bear hunting is either a lot of work for you before you start, or you're paying somebody to do that work.
Yeah.
You know.
From the baiting aspect of it?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because it is... it's just one of those things. If you've never done it, it sounds and seems really simple. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I guess like academically it is pretty simple, but to put it into practice and do it right, especially when you're competing with natural food and you're competing with other people baiting and hound hunters, and it is a lot harder than I ever thought it would be. I mean, I consistently struggle when I get bear tags.
Yeah.
And it's just... it's a lot, but that part makes it fun. You know, like the preseason stuff, and like they start showing up at the baits and start showing up on cameras is fun. but it is a heavy lift. If you really want a chance, it's a lot.
Yeah. That's one thing that, dude, like, the older I get, I look back at the younger version of myself, and I was like, I used to talk shit on, like, baiting for bears. And I used to say stuff like, oh, that's so easy. Like, why? That's, there's no sport in that. Same with baiting whitetails. And I look back at the, my younger version, and I'm just like, dude, you're such a douchebag, like, for saying that shit. And now it's like the opposite is ringing true with the way that I'm thinking. It's, I want to go experience all of these things, even if I used to talk shit on them. Like, right. I would love to go on a deer hunt where dogs are pushing them. I would love to go on a bear hunt over bait. I mean, I even, like, I used to talk shit on hunting over bait piles, like, a long time ago, and I did that this year in Kansas.
Right.
And so, you know, I think what makes somebody grow as a human being is being able to look back at themselves and maybe even judge yourself a little bit, and you're just like, dude, this shit ain't as bad as you think it is.
Right. Well, I mean, it's all experience.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, it's also, it's not only just like you go do that baited Kansas hunt. Now you're totally accepting of bait. You just go, mm-hmm. okay, well, I know why people do it. Like, I get why you would want to fight to keep that, you know, but you might also find out, like, it is not your jam.
Yeah.
You know, but it just helps you understand things better. You know, like, I was the same way with bear hunting. I didn't hunt them. I mean, I was in, like, probably my lower 30s anyway before I hunted them. And I always looked at it that way. I'm like, I don't want to shoot a bear on a pile of donuts. And then I started doing it, and it was 200 miles round trip. And this was before we were using, like, a lot of cell cameras, so you had no idea till you showed up there.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, nocturnal bear, something happens, nothing for 5 days. And it was like, okay, this is just not what I thought it was. Like, you still might not like it, right? Like, they've come in and you kill them. It's like, that part's pretty easy when they do come in, but learning about what it actually entails, like what the whole thing encompasses, is important.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on new window treatments at Blinds.com. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered to your door fast and free. With over 25 million windows covered and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love.
Shop up to 50% off site-wide plus a free professional measure during the President's Day Mega Sale. Last chance happening right now at Blinds.com. Terms apply.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's just like, that's what I want to spend time doing now, is going and experiencing some of that, those different methods of hunting, across every aspect of it. 'Cause it becomes less about, oh, I shot a big giant buck, and more about, like, history and culture and things like that, that have started to interest me.
Right. So. Well, and I mean, you've seen this too, like, it's like super easy to get judgy about how people kill deer, right? Oh, for example, you know, just if you have an amazing place and you know how to babysit them, you're going to, like, you're going to kill big ones.
Exactly.
But over time, you're just like, there's, like, so much out there to do, and, like, so many different ways to go about it. And, like, some people have good stuff, some people don't. Like, you just kind of realize, like, it's just your individual journey, you know? And the more exposure you get to it, is like, you can kind of, like carve your path a little better, but you just realize, like, it's not worth, you know, like, harboring, like, a ton of, like, anger and vitriol inside of yourself over the way somebody else kills a freaking deer.
Right. Right. Is that same thing going on in the fishing community? Is that same?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just an ego thing, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like,
this guy only catches big bass because of fill in the blank.
Right. Oh, he gets a ton of local info when he goes, you know, fishes a tournament there. Or, you know, we used to, way back when I first started out, there was a guy that I fished against some who had won some level of lottery. He won like $16 million. And so his hobby was tournament fishing. And then there were a pair of brothers who were native. They were from some reservation in Minnesota. And so they were getting some of the casino money. So they were doing pretty well that way. And those two guys, and then the guy who won the lottery, kind of got, like, a lot of hate because they didn't – their struggle was different, right? They were kind of taken care of. But, you know, you're like, well, this is what they like to do. Like they, yeah, so maybe they have more time than you if you're working, you're a plumber or whatever, and you're showing up for a weekend derby or something like that, but who cares?
Yeah.
You know, it's not like those guys are going out there and just dominating every tournament because they have that extra time. Like, there's still so many variables that come into it.
Yeah. And that sentiment kind of goes with all aspects of life. Even, like, there's something that, like, the story of the guy who works the absolute hardest and has to go through the most obstacles to get to where he's going, whether that is, you know, like the basketball player from the worst possible neighborhood in the biggest ghetto in the United States, or some guy who, you know, was working a factory job, a shitty factory job, and then all of a sudden he starts going on a roll, and he has to take vacation time and drive, and he has maybe winning tournaments in a John boat or whatever the case may be to get to where he's at. But then there's this tipping point where you work hard, you get success, people are jacked for you, and then once you have found success, then there's this next level where everybody goes, okay, well, now you're too big for your britches.
Right.
Now you got, you know, like, yeah, we get it. It must be nice having to, you know, you were able to quit your job, or you were able to go to college and get your shit paid for, blah, blah, blah. Now you're a loser. Now we don't like you because you don't have to work as hard anymore.
Right. That, yep. That stuff's tough. Yep. I mean, some of it is just people being shitty. Some of it is they don't know. You know, like, mm-hmm. We just dropped a show. So last year I filmed a bear and deer show with my daughter in northern Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And so she drew a bear tag. Bear hunting sucked. The weather was terrible. We had 4 days. And I had a couple little bucks coming into this spot. And that was it, because there aren't hardly any deer over there. You know, I mean, like, the density's super low. And so I knew we had a chance at a couple of these bucks. And she killed a little spike buck on the show, first deer that came in. Could have very well likely been the only deer we saw. Like, we might have seen other deer, but I wouldn't count on it. Mm-hmm. And so Meat Eater's been posting some of the stuff around that show. And I never do this, but I saw them post it, so I looked at the comments. Literally the first comment was a guy who's like, hey, I'm not throwing shade, but why would she shoot that little buck when she should wait for a bigger one to show up? And I was just like, she's 11 and we're hunting in northern Wisconsin? Like, seriously?
Like, I'm going to go make that post. Dude. So you don't have to. I'm going to go over back and she's 11, dude.
Well, and a lot of other people responded to him. I didn't. Okay. You know, and my thing is with that, my point is, my initial reaction was, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Like, really? Yeah. Like, you know nothing. But then it's like, right, you don't know anything about that situation. That might be somebody who lives somewhere with a huge, like a super high deer density, who has no concept of, you know, a big woods whitetail hunt where there's wolves and bears and coyotes and bobcats and like bad, bad winters where you're never going to have just be snowed in with deer. And so it's like, my initial reaction is to hate that dude forever. Mm-hmm. But when you start to think about it, you're like, well, should you say that? No. Like, that was just like a, like, don't say that. But also, like, I could see, like, you could come from a place where you genuinely have no idea that might be the only deer you see in multiple days of hunting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so hard. Like, and that's the thing, man. As soon as I get the opportunity to quit social media, I'm done. Like, I'm done and done forever. Like, I don't need all of that stuff. In my life. I don't want it in my life anymore, but I have to have it now.
I know. It's so weird how we just like commercialize everything. You know, like Instagram when it first came out was just show us cool pictures.
Exactly. Like, period. Like,
whatever, you know. Yeah. Here's a picture of a sunset. Here's a picture of this rooster in the back of the truck. My dog jumping off a dock. Whatever. And it was like, cool. Like, especially if you're in our space where you can see like badass photography and go like, man, that is a neat shot. Like, I used to do that a lot, like John Hafner and some of those guys. You're like, holy cow, like the way they see the world, super interesting. And then, you know, it evolves over time to be something you can just sell around and sell around and sell around. And we do this, you know, everything. All the time with every platform, every individual brand, everything. And like, it's
every
just like the
industry,
natural cycle.
Every industry, every hobby, right. everything becomes about money. It's unfortunate, but it's the truth. I mean, why do I want to make more money? To make my life easier.
Right.
Right. I mean, so whatever, dude. Whatever, dude.
That's, shoot those spikes. Throw a pair of middle fingers up in the air. Screw it.
Hell yeah. Dude, I said this before, but I think I'm going to continue to go after large antlered deer, older deer, because that's what I like. But there is, like, I feel like I'm trending towards filling tags now. Like, that's, dude, how cool is it to shoot a deer? I don't care if it's the antlers or like big antlers or not. How cool is it to just shoot a deer?
Right. I mean, I argue with this. I argue with Mark all the time about this, because he'd be like, you only hunt public land for your ego. And I'm like, dude, I just love showing up and figuring it out. And I don't care about the trophy thing anymore. Yeah. You know? And I think that the message that we present to the audience generally from us to them is mature bucks and here's how to do it.
Yeah.
And it's just not in the cards for so many people, and it might not be the thing that makes them happy. Yeah. And so, you know, some people are ate up with that, right? Like that's it. Like that's what they want.
Yeah.
That's their lane. But when you don't know what your lane is yet, because you haven't really figured out how to hunt, you know, whether it's your home farm, your home state or whatever, the more that you do and the more that you try out, you just figure that out. Like, just figure it out, you know. And you said that South Dakota buck meant more to you than anything this year. It's like, yeah, no shit. Go spot and stalk mule deer out in the breaks. It's freaking, it's hard to beat that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Absolutely. Great conversation, as always.
Hey, we got to deer hunting.
Yeah, we got to it. I mean, we spent maybe 5 minutes on it, but we got to it. I appreciate you taking time out of your day to do this. Thank you, as always, for coming on. Hopefully, the listeners of this podcast are still listening to it at this point. Let's see, we're about 1 hour and 13 minutes into it, so maybe there's one guy listening. But if you're listening, thank you for listening. And
thanks to that one guy who's still with us.
Yep, exactly. And it's probably not, he probably fell asleep.
Right.
Is what happened. He's on the couch. He fell asleep. Either way, Tony, good luck the rest of the season, man. Hopefully you or your daughters get out there and get it done, whatever that is. And we'll talk to you next time, my friend.
I appreciate it, buddy.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.